everybody. Welcome into the Comics Experience Make Comics podcast. It's been a while since I've said that. A few episodes behind, I'm Joey Groh talking with Heather Antos about making comics. And Heather brought up a great topic that we have talked about in parts, but you were recently at Emerald City Comic Con as of our recording recently, and you were there for the first time with Valiant, and it sounds like the show was awesome. And we thought con etiquette in terms of talking to other professionals and specifically editors would be a good thing to discuss, since it is very fresh in your mind, along with your jet lag and trying to catch up on sleep.
Yeah. No, it was a really great show. It was my first time ever going to Emerald City Comic Con, which is in Seattle, for those that don't know. And, you know, I was told beforehand it's the largest artist alley in the country. And boy, they were not kidding. It was amazing. It was so huge that, like, you got lost in it.
Oh, great.
I was joking they should put, like, the arrows like IKEA has on the floor just so you can navigate better. But no, it was super great. It was the only show I've ever been to where Artist Alley was busier all 4 days than the show floor.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is super interesting.
Like, I actually went to the show floor just so I could have breathing room.
And maybe you don't know, since going there, is that something they've cultivated? Is that just something that happens? Is it?
I don't know. Like, I mean, everyone, artists, creators have always told me that it's the best show, it's the best show, it's the best show. And I guess, like, this is why. I think like, that's why it's, you know, they really market comics first. They really market the creators first. It's a show for creators, you know, by creators, celebrating comics. There is a bit of a media presence there. They do have, you know, the celebrities for the signings and things like that, but it's not, as far as I know, it's not anything like New York or San Diego where you get, like, the trailer drops or the, you know, the first episode premieres or anything like that. It's and Emerald City being the first con of the season, you know, the first big con of the season that's really kicking off convention season, I think that probably has something to do with it too.
Oh, that's great. That's really encouraging to hear. That's terrific. I know that sometimes it seems like Artist Alley can be kind of hit or miss, but that's very cool. And you got to talk to Valiant fans and Valiant readers for the first time with Valiant, and I imagine that it was just a lot of fun to go out and meet readers for the first time.
Oh my gosh, yes, Valiant fans are the best. No offense to the DC, Marvel, and other guys out there, but no, like, it was... It was really, really cool to get to meet the Valiant fans for the first time. You know, they're just super passionate and excited about the comics and the characters and the creators too. I was, you know, as I was mentioning to you before we were recording, it doesn't matter if a creator had, you know, just done one fill-in page. Like, the fans are so excited to meet them and have them sign their stuff, which is very cool to see, like, such a positive energy.
It must make for a fun time, and especially, yeah, just seeing that. And the conventions themselves are always such a marathon, and you being on the other side of the table as far as interacting and selling and meeting and portfolio reviews, I know it's exhausting. You know, travel alone is exhausting, but travel alone and doing a show where you have to be present, what, 12 hours of the day? That is a lot going on. But it does go nicely with con etiquette, and that's something I know that not everybody that wants to do creative services, I'm putting comics under creative services, making a thing, maybe that's the wrong banner, but getting into work for hire, working with a company, working with people, you don't always have that experience ahead of time. You know, your career path may not have led you to figuring out interactions with people. I know for me, in my day job on the video side, it was a lot of learned experience just going out and doing, but especially when it came to comics, where it is a different industry, you know, mm-hmm. it is a specific industry. And as much as it's a big industry, it is kind of small, and learning how to interact with people and how to talk to them and think about time. And, you know, you mentioned a couple of times just over the course of the podcast about, you know, people know that you're there to do business. As an editor, you know that people are going to try to meet you and talk to you about being an artist for whatever you're working on, or being a writer or a colorist. So you know that going in. But as far as, you know, reading the room, as far as getting to know people as far as reaching out ahead of time. There's lots of different ways you can, kind of always be improving how you interact with folks on site and at conventions, and thinking about, well, if I'm meeting a Heather Antos, she's here in an editorial capacity, she's here in a, being on panels, she's here in talking to creators, and maybe there's people that you're courting to see if they, want to come on board and do a book, and talking to retailers, and obviously talking to readers. There's so many things that's going into that swirl that, the kind of the interaction that you want to have isn't necessarily like, hey, can you look at all my pages right now, even though we don't have a scheduled review. It's understanding what people's time might be like and having a good concept of, hey, maybe my interaction is just 2 minutes, but it's a great 2 minutes because I get to follow up with you in a few weeks and continue on in a different environment.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing to understand and realize is, I mentioned this before on previous episodes regarding interactions with editors, but editors know that everyone at a convention is looking for work. You don't need to tell us you're looking for work. It's always good to hear, I would love to work with you. And I think that's the phrase to say is I would love to work with you if something becomes available that you think I'm suited for. But you never want to push an editor into a corner, because they're there representing, as a professional representing a professional publication. You are there representing yourself as a professional. And, you do want to be casual and you do want to be likable and approachable and all of these things, but there's like this gray area that you want to fall in of being, you don't want to be too formal because it is Comic-Con and no one's there in suits, right?
Right.
But as I said, you never want to walk up to an editor and be like, hey, so when are you going to hire me? Because that's putting someone in a really awkward position. Like, joking or not, it's a half joke. You do want to be hired. Obviously, we all do. We
And I
all
would
want to
like to
work.
know when.
Right. But, there's a certain level of familiarity you
Right.
need to have with the other person. And even if you're super familiar with them too, I want to. It's just not cool, because then the other person's gonna feel like a dick if they have to say, oh, well, I have nothing right now, right? Like
Right.
you almost make them feel like they have to say like, oh yeah, when something comes up, I'll call you.
Right.
And it's the same thing goes for, portfolio reviews. I know a lot of publishers tend to do pre-selected portfolio reviews where artists will submit their portfolios ahead of time. Editors will go through and choose, these are the 10 I'm actually going to have a one-on-one review on. Like if your portfolio isn't selected, if you have a chance to meet up with the editor and ask, what you could do better or why they didn't select you, do so in a friendly matter. I've had people wait around till after portfolio reviews to literally grab me by the arm to aggressively ask me why they were not chosen, which, is a very uncomfortable situation for anyone. Never make physical contact if you don't know someone
Right.
in a setting, period. But also, that editor might not have been the one that didn't select you. It could have been a different editor. You just don't know. You just don't know the situations. I understand that everyone is super desperate. You think this is your one shot to be seen, and you've been working so hard, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But like again, if you're that one interaction. If taken in a negative way, is going to be the only thing the editor remembers of you. It doesn't matter if you have the greatest portfolio on the planet. If you come at someone aggressively like that, that's all they're going to remember. And that's not the sort of person that anyone wants to collaborate with, much less in the, you know, the sweaty trenches that is comics.
Right. Right. And like you said, we're all there. Most people are tired. Most people have traveled. You know, there's a lot of ups and downs of excitement and look and friends and meeting people. And oh my gosh, I get to go do my portfolio review, or I didn't get to do my portfolio review. It can be hard to keep perspective, but there's just a lot of those kind of etiquette basics that comics are not. Just keep in mind, and you much. It's better to be, you know, maybe not that memorable in some cases, and be able to follow up rather than, oh yeah, we had that great time and that 3 minutes we talked after you were done with the portfolio reviews.
Oh yeah, I mean, every interaction with editors, with publishers, with PR people, with whomever at a convention, that's an interview.
Right.
You know, everyone's seen your work before. You know, if you set it ahead of time or whatnot. But for me, like when I'm doing portfolio reviews, I know within one or two pages whether or not you're someone I would hire, whether or not you're ready, et cetera, et cetera. But what that portfolio review really is for me is this someone I want to work with? Is this someone that I can get along with? Is this someone that can handle critique? Is this someone that's willing to take notes? Because I don't want to work with someone that's not. It's a collaborative, you know, it's a collaborative experience. Is this person a good collaborator? Is this someone I want to collaborate with? And that goes for gossiping at the bar. That goes for, you know, talking to other creators on the floor. Are you a dick? Are you someone that's trash talking other people? Are you someone that is spilling secrets and talking about things that they shouldn't be talking about? You know, we pay attention to all of those things. If you're a blabbermouth, well, I'm not going to want you, like, you're just not someone I want to hire on this top secret project. Like, that's just, I can't risk it. And so it's something that people pay attention to. And I don't think all creators realize it's something that we pay attention to.
You know, that aspect, I don't know that that's really occurred to me. I guess I always just assume people know to keep quiet, but there are a lot of things that are announced at certain times because of getting it out there at the right time, or maybe it's part of a different announcement, or maybe somebody is going to break it in a larger magazine or a larger trade, and being able to not talk about it is pretty key.
Exactly. I mean, like, literally just at this convention, we just teased the brand new EXO Manowar series. But all we teased is just a promo image by Christian Ward. We didn't tease release date. We didn't tease creative teams, you know, anything like that. And so because I know this image was going to be released on the weekend that a huge convention is, where everyone's at and everyone's talking, I emailed my entire creative team just to remind them, like, hey, this image is out there, but that doesn't mean we can talk about it.
Right.
Just to, you know, cover my ass and hopefully make sure that they cover theirs.
Yeah, I mean, it is a business at the end of the day, and all the things that you're talking about, all the points are about being in a business. It's obviously not always an office environment, but you'd want the same thing from the team that you're working with in the office. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have worked in offices or service industries, and you get it.
Yeah.
You know, you get the personalities in play, and at the end of the day, you want the people who are, you know, just the team player that makes sense and can bring the goods when they need to. But also, like you said, so much of any kind of creative collaboration is being able to talk to people in a way where criticism is understood and coming from a place of being constructive and wanting the project to be the winner. You know, well, it's hard sometimes with ego to set that aside and you know, realize it's not all about you, but it is about making the best thing we can, and we need to change it because, and having those conversations. It's not, hey, your work is terrible, or this was, you know, a bad idea. It's, well, we're doing this because this is the reasoning, and we got to go forward and, you know, get your pages in on time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. It's, you know, at the end of the day, you know, as an editor, I do protect my creators, but my job is to protect the integrity of the project. And so, yeah, like, it's, again, like you said, it's a thing that not everyone thinks about, but I pay attention to who talks about what and to whom, you know. Because, well, leaks get on Bleeding Cool somehow. Every publisher's worst nightmare. Yeah, and I mean, kind of on the same sense of like portfolio reviews, or if you just happen to bump into an editor on the panel floor or the show floor, you know, keep in mind you're not the only person that sends an editor samples.
Right.
So if an editor asks you to send them samples and you go, "Well, I already did," that's kind of a very passive aggressive thing to say. And then also, I would hope that you have updated samples then since since you've sent that. You know, like me, I get, God, I want to say at least 50 emails a week of different samples from people. So, you know, unless it literally your samples just came to me that day, I'm not going to remember.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, if I say send me some samples and you already have sent me some samples, the easiest thing to say is just absolutely, I will send you more samples.
Yeah, it seems like the right invitation, not something that you go, oh no, I've already sent you some. That's an opportunity to follow up again and to show
right.
more work and to make another opportunity. It's just
right.
Yeah, that seems counterintuitive.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just I think a lot of these things, you know, this con etiquette type of stuff and just kind of professional decorum in general is just a lack of awareness and not thinking how, you know, the message is being received. And some of this can come from the fact of as creators, we're all stuck in a cave
right.
by ourselves all day long.
Yep.
And so there's like such a lack of like interpersonal interaction sometimes that it's easy to forget how to human.
Get there, your blood sugar's low, you're jet lagged. It is a big swirl of things.
It is a big swirl. It definitely is a big swirl. But you know, again, you always want to put your best foot forward. And you know, as I've said in previous podcasts, I'll repeat it here. Just don't be a dick. Just don't be a dick. And then I, of course I have to say, you know, as, I don't think this is a thing that guys run into ever, but it's something I definitely have encountered a lot as a woman in a heavily male dominated industry. And I know it's a thing that my female colleagues have, editors and artists, creators have encountered, is if you're speaking with a woman in a professional setting, no matter the professional setting, no matter your relationship with them, your first comment should not be on their appearance. You know, if I'm coming up to you with an intent to talk to you about your work, and possibly hire you for something, the first thing out of your mouth should not be how attractive you find me. Because that's not what we're here to talk about. You know, it just, again, it puts the female as the editor in a corner and in an uncomfortable situation when it should be a professional situation.
Right. It's not how you start a business relationship. Oh, it's the first time I saw you, and that's what I'm going to comment on. And
well, just think like you're in an interview for an office job, right? Like say you're walking into an interview for an office job, and the person interviewing you is a woman, is the first thing you're going to say to them like, oh my gosh, you're so beautiful.
That's not what you say to HR. That's not
yeah.
what you say to the hiring manager or the department head that you're talking to. I think that, yeah, that is, you know, again, a basic etiquette thing. I can't imagine you'd do that in the environments that you're talking about outside of comics. So convention floor is that office space. It is that, you know, that office conversation. And it just, in general, any kind of going that route does not make sense from a professional standpoint. Why you would
no.
start and go there, you know, if you're, I don't know.
Like, how do you segue from that into comics? I don't know.
Right. Let me show you my pages. Okay.
Right, right.
I'm totally going to be just thinking about your pages and not how you've set the stage with a weird comment off the top. Now it really does seem like you don't get out a lot because that's how you open things.
Exactly.
The thing that, you know, I always tried to think about when doing business development, going out and meeting people in different environments that were a lot more relaxed, like an after hours or sometimes award shows, different environments where I knew there would be people I would want to talk to, was I would be fairly not rehearsed, but kind of rehearsed. I would figure out ahead of time, what do I want to say? Why am I there? You know, what's my purpose, and what am I looking to do? So I'd have a clear-cut response. You know, what do? You specialize in anything? What are you looking for? I would have answers to all of those, and I transported that in the comics in the same way of, okay, well, why am I here? You know, what is my purpose of being at the show? Sometimes maybe it's just to see friends and connect. Sometimes it's, you know what, I'd really like to meet somebody from First Second, and I'm gonna pitch them, you know, see if I can pitch them or see what their process is like, because I don't know how First Second works. Or hey, I want to meet Heather Antos and, you know, show her some pages. It's having a goal and having things laid out, at least for me, I think can avoid the dead space or the awkward conversation. You know, some of the examples that you're giving are the extremes of you just don't comment on anybody's appearance. You just don't open, you know, with cornering someone or any kind of physical touching. But I don't know that that's, you know, how it works for everybody. But for me, having a couple of things in mind of what I'm going to say and why I'm there really helped me define things. And you know, I don't think led to any particular awkwardness, because I had it, you know, some not rehearsed, but again, top of mind of, well, why am I here? What am I doing? And being able to present myself. And you said something earlier that I think really resonates is you're there representing you. You know, you're the company of you talking to a representative from another company. And if you lead with, hey, you're pretty, or something that is, I mean, that's all you're going to take away from it. That's all anyone would take away from it. And that's a closed door in an industry that doesn't have a ton of doors that, you know, you can knock on and go through. It's small industry, people talk, and you know, it just lots of different ways to approach people, but there are a number of bad ways too.
No, 100%. I mean, it's cheesy, but don't do anything you wouldn't do if your mother was standing behind your shoulder, basically.
That's good rule of thumb for life.
I think so.
So sometimes, you know, I might swear the amount I swear in front of my mom, but otherwise, anything else you want to add to the overall discussion?
I mean, another big thing is, at least for me personally, I'm not sure if this happens with other creators, but I have to imagine it does. We live in this age of the internet, where we all communicate on social media, but unfortunately, not everyone's profile pictures is of their face. Time and time again at conventions, I'll have people come up to me and be like, "Oh, Heather, it's so good to meet you. I'm Josh." And I have no idea who Josh is. I always joke that everyone at conventions should have a name tag with their Twitter handle and profile picture on it. That way I can figure out who you are. Or at least like do first name, last name at the very least. I had someone at this convention literally do that same thing, like walk up to me and like, "Hi, I'm Joe." And it wasn't until later in the day that Joe Schmo DM'd me and said, "Oh, it was so great to meet you," that I realized, "Oh, that was who I met." Because otherwise I'm standing there and I feel like an idiot because this person clearly knows who I am. I don't know who they are, and I'm like trying to like pretend I do as well as possible and hopefully figure it out via context clues.
Right. That
Like,
is a great point.
yeah. So I think, just if you're introducing someone, especially if it's the first time and you only know them via the internet, always use your first and last name. Always use your first and last name and say where you met.
I think, yeah, the like you said, don't make people have to do context clues. And I am forever trying to reintroduce myself to people that will sometimes say, yeah, I remember. But I do feel like you just meet so many people, and it could have been a year or two ago. And it's such an environment where it's easy to forget. Oh yeah, I know you. I've the last time I went to San Diego Comic-Con, I've been talking to somebody for an hour. We were walking around in a group, and then she and I both realized, like, oh, we follow each other on Twitter. I'm like, yeah, I'm the guy with the cat on him, and now I'm this. And you go, oh my God, that was so funny. We talked about bread the other day. It's so weird how you just need that extra bit of context to go, right, you, perfect, I remember.
No, exactly. And also, like, if you're talking with someone else while there, like, make sure that you introduce them. Like, they might have already met the other person, but you don't know.
Right.
And it never hurts. It just makes you look like you're a nice guy.
Yeah, it's very easy to go into the hey, do you know? And then do the intro or
Right.
go, yo, we met, and
Yeah.
yeah, you remember that one thing. You looked at my portfolio. You remember me, right? The comic artist.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Perfect. So it is a very good list of things to think about as far as con etiquette, and definitely use the opportunity of a convention to get out there and meet people and do it the way that you would want to be met. Very, very golden rule, very, like you said, mother behind you. Is that how you'd interact with people? Excellent. Well, so you have more lined up, and I know there's probably not a lot of Valiant announcements yet per se, but work coming from Valiant in addition to you're doing a Kickstarter class at Comics Experience, which is awesome. A multi-week course that you can go to comicsexperience.com, and I don't know that we've talked about that since it was announced. Let's talk about it. Somebody really produced this well ahead of time, Heather. It was me. But yeah, that comicsexperience.com has information about the class that you're doing about kickstarting, and we've talked Kickstarter specific episodes in the past where you shared how you got involved with Kickstarter early on and the different things that you were doing related to creator-owned work, which is what got you on the radar for Marvel and led to editing at Marvel. And you did a micro course for Comics Experience. Gosh, at this point it was sometime last year, and that went really well. So next up we have kickstarting your comic or graphic novel, which starts on April 1st. What else? We haven't covered
I mean, that's it. That's all I got.
haven't covered root beer tonight. We haven't covered
Penguins.
Penguins. We got a Queer Eye recap. That'll probably be a spin-off show. It is a lot. Maybe some airline travel, it sounds like, that how to travel cross country, how to travel internationally. Well, if you have a question you want to hear talked about on the show, email info@comicsexperience.com, and you can tweet at Comic Experience. And we also have an episode coming out in a couple episodes that Heather and Jim will both separately tackle the same question from a listener, which
Mwahahaha.
should be a very cool one. Unfortunately, due to timing, we can't get everybody online at the same time very easily because Jim is West Coast and has a different schedule, and Heather is East Coast and has a different schedule, and Nicole is Central and has a different schedule. So it's been tricky to try to find an hour because we've discussed over the last, what, year doing a couple of different roundtables, and unfortunately timing doesn't sync up. So we're going to try this, which is a Heather version and a Jim version, which I think will be very cool.
And then we'll have you vote,
Yeah.
and whoever loses, I don't know. I got nothing.
Whoever
Owes the
loses,
other a Coke?
owes the other a Coke is kicked off Comics Experience Island until there is only one. It's gonna be Chris Sotomayor. It's gonna be Chris Soto. He's gonna be the last one. I've been to multiple conventions where Chris has been at the convention, and invariably I'll walk up to him and say, "You need anything? Do you need to take a break?" And he'll take advantage of it, and he'll go away for 10 minutes, and I've never felt the power that I have standing behind his booth and people coming up and saying, "Did you make this?" And I'll go, "I did
No.
not." But he will be back very soon, and he will tell you as much as you want to know about coloring comics, and it will be amazing. So, I guess I've already shown my allegiances. I gotta hang up quickly. So, until next time, keep making comics.